My mama would say, you gotta fight for what is right. To her I would say, I wanna give back the world some light. But it's an empty road, I feel so alone, I forgot.
Patriots, and it's Thursday, April 11th in the year 2024. We are now at the second broadcast after the eclipse. A great interview last night with Pastor Neil Peterson of Harvest Revival Church, which is where I'm currently at right now. I'll be heading, starting my journey back tomorrow. Great pastor and really great church here. And really a wonderful host for the Eclipse event. So we'll be seeing more of him as well. He'll be at the next Bards Fest, which will be, so we're looking now, it will be July 4th through July 7th. I believe it's Monday or Sunday. So it'd be Thursday night through Sunday will be the next Bards Fest. And that'll be in Flemingsburg at the new property, which we'll talk more about as we get closer. Let's jump into one of our sponsors and just realize that we are dealing with a massive amount of craziness by these psychopaths that are trying to do everything they can to prevent people from growing food, in addition to the crisis that we're creating with that they're creating just with supply chain logistics and domestic upheaval. Their whole goal ultimately is to force people onto their programs of submission, which include eating bugs and GMO foods, including lab-grown proteins, which who knows where that is going to be sourced from. Right now, it's really not a question of if something is going to happen. It's only a matter of when. The only shock that will come to people is the what of what it actually is. We have some control, The only question is, what can you do about it? And that's the big piece, which is preparing. And so the best way to start with that is to head over to our website, preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com, and then take the next step by stocking up on the one-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. They're priced at under $50, and you can buy them in bulk. They're a great value. My Patriot Supply is equipped to help to prepare you, as they have for over 2 million families around the nation. So these one-week kits with Ready Hour food provide over 2,000 calories every day, and they're sealed inside a rugged ammo can so they can last up to 25 years in storage. Just grab and go in case of emergencies, which is really important. They just add to your go kit if necessary, if that comes necessary. And even then, just having it handy that quick is a super thing. So you get these kits for under $50 a piece, and it's this week only, so you get them at preparewithbards.com, preparewithbards.com. Check it out. You want to check these things out. They're a great value and a really super addition to your emergency preparedness plan, which is just seems to be the lifestyle these days, right? So, you know, one of the things that we're really confronting now is the reality of what they're trying to do. We are dealing with a government that is unquestionably out of control, and being that it's out of control, it is trying to do a continued push towards a mass tyranny in our time. One of the things that we know that they've used before is FISA, and to no surprise, they're trying to reactivate FISA. Take a listen to this from Tucker.
A few years ago, we learned conclusively that, in fact, the FBI and the federal intel agencies had been working secretly against Donald Trump's presidential campaign. So if you're wondering why no one has gone to prison for any of this now that we know it actually happened, well, the reason is in part a law called FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And that law allows the federal government to spy without a warrant on foreigners outside the borders of the country. And the idea is, bad people are doing bad things against us. We need to know what they are, and we can't bother to go to a court to get a warrant every time we want to know. But it will never be used against American citizens. Well, of course, now that we know, it has been at scale. So that law is now up for reauthorization in the House of Representatives. And amazingly, the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson of Louisiana, has spent the last couple of weeks doing all he can to get that law reauthorized. In other words, to allow the federal agencies to continue to spy upon and punish people who disagree with him. In other words, Mike Johnson's own party, Republicans, Trump voters. Mike Johnson has been working to do that. And that effort failed today, for the moment. But of course, this is a temporary victory. It will come back, this attempt to spy on you, an American citizen, without a warrant because you've been politically disobedient. Why will it come back? Because it's what they really care about.
I think the real question that we have to continue to ask is, how do so few people in this government get away with controlling so many? There's 330 million people in this nation, and you've got a handful of fools that literally have taken control of everything, and people are willfully going along with it. The problem is that when you control the media and you control the perception of everything and you keep people in a constant state of fear and turmoil and chaos, it's very difficult to focus on the real core problem. The core problem is the leadership in this nation. And when we get to that, which is not just the elected officials, they're just puppets, you have to go beyond that and get to the root of who's actually pulling the strings, which ultimately are banksters, Wall Street types, everybody who's out for the greed of money and power and will do anything to secure it and anything to maintain the fact that we are supposed to be subordinate to them. The problem with this culture right now as a whole is there's too many people that are weak in their moral foundations. And as being weak in moral foundations, they're not able to stand without fear of losing something. When you're standing truly with Christ, you're not going to stand with that fear. You're going to know that you've already, everything has been sacrificed for you. You have life, and now it is your duty to hold the line, stand, and let God fight for you. It's fairly simple in principle, but it's nearly impossible when you're not walking with that true sense of relationship in here. And that's the one thing that Pastor Peterson, or Pastor Neil last night spoke of, which was really interesting. It was a great comment he made. And he came across a guy with a shirt at Waffle House yesterday. And it was, the shirt said, "Not today, Jesus." And he said he had pity on him because he also had a pentagram But what was interesting is the follow-on comment. He said, at least I knew where he stood, and so does God. And his biggest issue, his comment was, the question is to lukewarm Christians. Where do they really stand? They may have Jesus in the mouth, but do they have Jesus in the heart? And that's the real issue here. And it's going to show itself more and more as we go forward for people to understand that those that are willing to stand and to do all for faith and what we believe in are the true ones that walk with Christ. You're going to find a lot of lukewarm people that are going to bail out or try to walk both sides of the fence. And unless we can step into that place, we aren't going to change anything. But that's where God always seeks out the remnant. God will always seek out those who have the courage to stand in, whether it's Gideon, David, Joshua, and his army, however that is. You're going to find those that have the heart to stand in spite of the cost. Our world is truly in a massive designed turmoil and chaos. And here's a little piece from our favorite tyrannical leader psychopath. He's not really a leader. Let's call him a psychopath. And that's Harari. Take a listen to this.
In the book, if I understand it correctly, you argue that actually the amazing breakthrough that we are experiencing right now not only will potentially make our life better, but they will create, and I quote you, new classes and new class struggles, just as the Industrial Revolution did. Can you elaborate for us?
Yes, in the Industrial Revolution, we saw the creation of a new class of the urban proletariat. And much of the political and social history of the last 200 years involved what to do with this class and the new problems and opportunities. Now, we see the creation of a new massive class of useless people. As computers become better and better in more and more fields, there is a distinct possibility that computers will outperform us in most tasks and will make humans redundant. And then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games.
you listen to this guy sometimes, and it's really hard to believe that he's for real. I mean, I would guess he is, only because he's on the national stage, but you really want to look at this guy and go, dude, seriously, are you an actor playing out like one of the worst scripts ever? This dude speaks the stuff you just shake your head at, and like, these people really believe this. And unfortunately, there are a group of people that actually do believe this, and we see this happening more and more, and we're starting to get to the root of why. But you know, it's notable that in this moment right now there is a increasing push for AI. In fact, OpenAI and Meta are about ready to release a new upgrade that's going to allow for reasoning, and this is the new level of AI to tie that in with the digital currency that's coming, that so many people seem to be excited about because it's going to be gold-backed. But when AI is running this, it doesn't matter whether it's gold-backed or not. It's irrelevant. The entire principle is a social credit score that's going to mold you, shape you, and identify you as either a good person or a bad person. And in the end, there is no forgiveness, because every single time that you make a mistake, you will be penalized. And the more mistakes you make, your social credit score falls. And the only way you're going to be able to recover from that is total 100% compliance to the system. Now, of course, that always begs the question of what can you do and prepare. Now, just another inject here from another one of our great sponsors, which is Birch Gold. Right now, if you are dealing at all with any sort of retirement savings, you want to get hold of Birch Gold. We are in a crisis right now where they are literally trying to remove all retirement capability and savings for their own use. We still are in a window where you can place those retirement savings within the active accounts of silver or gold-backed, precious metal-backed IRAs. So if you have an existing IRA or 401k, or if you want to set up an IRA or 401k, you need to get hold of Birch Gold. These are the precious metals experts that have been around for a long time. They've been serving Bars Nation for over a year and a half and doing a fantastic job. So all you need to do is type 9898, or type BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, and text it to 989898. So again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. They're going to send you an information packet, read through it, get informed, and then give them a call and set up a call. they are the guys to go to for precious metals and precious metal strategies in this time when so much is being done to push you into a digital framework and continue to pilfer our savings and our value of our money through the massive debt and man-made inflation that's within the system. So again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. Receive a packet from Birch Gold and get hold of them today. They're a great outfit. Yeah, we are not in a good position in terms of a nation, but it's interesting to see some of the things that are happening, and even on the positive. In a surprise yesterday, a far right, what they call far right, let's just say the Christians of the lawmakers of Arizona are now apparently under fire because they led a prayer group that was speaking in tongues, which is awesome, just hours before the state Supreme Court held a 160-year-old law that bans or upheld a 160-year-old law that bans abortion. We are seeing the rise more and more of faith, and it's happening. It's a slow process, but that acceptance of faith and the power of prayer in the many forms it takes is taking root. And when we start to see it take root in our Capitol buildings, we're starting to see the pivot that I think will only accelerate as we go forward. Prayer is powerful. It is one of our most powerful weapons we have. Prayer literally shapes what the intention of things to come, and it can defeat so much before us. And that's something we just literally need to get a grip on. And we need to be praying for a lot more and praying for a lot more things and against these strongholds. But our government is without a doubt completely corrupted, and they are doing, as I said at the beginning, doing everything they can to limit us even in the way we produce food. One of their latest experiments is the attempt at blocking the sun. Yes, yes, this is it. They're calling, because of the global warming ideological insanity that's been pushed on here, this new church of global warming believes that man is the parasite and that we are overproducing heat on the globe and that things must be cooled down. And of course, that includes reducing carbon. They're reducing the CO2 levels in the world, which then reduces the plant ability to grow. And then what you do with that is you also reduce the amount of sun, and then things will begin to die off, including animals. So you can start to see the master plan as they steer people, or should say herd people, into this system where there's going to be vertical agriculture. You're going to be living in these dismal cities, being fed the garbage that they create and produce, having no choice in what you eat, ultimately becoming little more than chattel to be harvested and slaves to do their dirty work. Here's the discussion about the new cloud seeding that they did to block the sun.
A so-called cloud brightening operation was just carried out on a decommissioned aircraft carrier in San Francisco. And the idea of all this is to help fight alleged global warming by reducing the amount of sunlight that hits the Earth. This is New York Times. It was the first outdoor test in the United States of technology designed to brighten clouds and bounce some of the sun's rays back into space, a way of temporarily cooling a planet that is now dangerously overheating. But look, in other words, what they're doing is they're loading the clouds with aerosols in order to make them more dense, and they're doing this to reduce the temperature of the Earth by trying to make it so that we and plants and everything else on this planet get less sunlight. This is part of a broader program of what's known as solar geoengineering and, of course, just climate geoengineering in general. They want to change the nature of the environment. And programs like this are beginning to gain momentum as a part of a proposed solution, maybe the final solution to climate change.
Everything that they are doing right now is an attempt to put us at a infrastructure that's more vulnerable than we've ever known. Renewables are highly vulnerable. Not only are they vulnerable to the change in solar output or the change in wind velocity or the change in tidal movement, but they're especially vulnerable to climatic issues or diverse and radical weather issues. We just saw this happen in Texas, where acres and acres, hundreds of acres of solar panels were destroyed by a hailstorm. And that puts things out of commission completely. This is their idea of renewables. And the more that they can press towards this idea of creating renewable energy and then getting us off energy that can actually be stored, which would include wood, then they can start reflecting the sun away, reducing temperatures, creating an environment that's inhospitable to human beings, and ultimately just allow us to die, which they'll be happy to do as they bury themselves into their bunkers and await for the moment when they can surface again and all the people that they don't like are dead. This is literally part of their plan. I will tell you, and I mentioned this over at the festival, and I'll mention it again here. On the way out, God led me to read Joshua, and I actually went through the book 4 times on audio by the time I got out here. And I was asking him very clearly, what is it that you're asking me to see? One of the things, those many messages came to that, was the moment where the 5 kings went into the cave. And Joshua told his men to put the 2 stones, 2 boulders in front of it to block them in, but not leave their armies there and to go out and fight. Later, once the battles were won, Joshua asked his men to remove the stones and bring the 5 kings before him, and asked his commanders to stand before him and put their feet on their neck. And he reminded them that this is what would become of all kings, as Joshua killed them and then hung them on a tree for people to witness and see. The word that I got from God was very simple. This is coming again. And this is for retribution of what has been done to my children on this earth. How that's done is whether it's God or whether it's us by God's hand. The fact is that we're moving to a point where these leaders are trying to run to bunkers, and I don't believe they're going to survive it well. They're trying to escape that God has created and thinking that they can have a master plan above and greater than God, but they're going to learn a big lesson, I do believe. And I think a good demonstration of this is what happened at the eclipse. I have never seen so many chemtrails that happened up at our location up here in Ohio. There was at least 20 to 30 aircraft moving through in the morning spraying chemtrails, including making the letter Tav multiple times in the air. All of those chemtrails were blown out of the way by the time the eclipse came. The skies we woke up to were blue and clear. By mid-morning, they were already polluted and completely hazed by the chemtrails. And by the time the eclipse came at 3 o'clock, the sky was back blue and clear again. The winds had picked up and blown them completely out of the way. Essentially, they failed and God won. And this is the time in which we are living. The eclipse was a powerful event. And I said last night I'll be talking about it more, and over the next couple of shows it'll come up. I mean, I don't really know how else to describe the eclipse moment in totality other than the word agape. It was a moment of complete peace, of complete calm, of an unbelievable sense of love. But love at a level of God, not a love at the level of hug and kisses. This is a deep, deep settling and feeling of stability, security, faith. All of this happened in a span of about 3 minutes, as you felt something greater than yourself. Everybody here at the event was moved. I've had reports of people, and it's interesting because you hear people talk about being on the edge of the eclipse, not in totality, and their experience is very different. But most everybody that was in the middle of totality felt it. And it was a powerful experience to witness this in its fullness. They talk about the diamond ring, and it happens as it begins, and then it happens as it ends. And it's a flash of light that occurs on the outer ring of fire. And what you really, when you see the photographs, it's really difficult to do justice to what you see, because the photographs show can be done with different things. That ring of fire is often shown as orange, or an orange hue. When you're literally witnessing it, that ring of fire is pure white, and that circle is pure black, not an absence of color, but a density of color and depth that's unlike anything you've seen. And it's perfect in its balance and harmony. That event, being there in totality, was felt by every single person. Everyone was touched. And as I said there at the rally, is that everyone is touched. How that manifests in our lives, time will show, but there's no question that it was a moving event, that God was present. I think Michelle put it best in her word, that we're actually seeing the back of God. And I think that was well said. It's an amazing event, an amazing rally. 300 some odd people we had here, and just came together in so much prayer and worship and so much Holy Spirit that was present. We had miracle healings. We had a man that was had Alzheimer's and could hardly walk. His feet were turned and twisted. And they had come from Canada, and his daughter had brought him here, or wife, I'm sorry, had brought him here with their children and said that when they left, he was not going to have Alzheimer's. And I said, okay, then let's start praying. So we brought together the prayer team and we prayed, and it was deeply emotional. I found myself even so deeply moved by Holy Spirit. I was literally just pouring tears and just praying out amazing things. They continued to pray on him. They prayed on his legs. They prayed on him as he walked out to his car. His feet, they were all twisted, literally straightened up, and he began to walk normally and then sat down in his vehicle to take a rest and said, I feel very tired, but he was speaking again. It was fantastic. One of those fantastic moments of powerful prayer and just such a great way of seeing healing happening by God's hand. I can say this happened many times. We prayed on people all throughout the time. Anybody that needed prayer found suddenly a whole group of people around them in prayer. And the healing capacity of when many come together is unprecedented. You know, as we say with prayer healing, sometimes we see the immediate miracles. Sometimes it's God's timing. But however that comes together, we are always witnessing the power of overcoming the enemy with prayer. The youth there that were amazing. We had Abigail and little Leah as leading that team, but we had so many other young people speaking, even a young girl of about, I think she's about 8 years old, Tag's daughter. Unbelievable words of prophetic speaking out of her, and it was just powerful statements of how God works through his children with those of the innocent hearts. Just a beautiful statement overall to what we witnessed, and it will just only continue as we continue to foster this community and raise up our children to be as great in kingdom as they can possibly be. So it really just something very powerful to lean into, and something just to be reminded of as well, that we're in a time right now when we have to start giving more and more credit to what God is doing and less credit to what the enemy's doing. I will always highlight what the enemy is doing, but we need to be taking more intention to pray against it, to not accept it, and not think that it's bigger than God. One of those things is AI. Artificial intelligence right now seems to be one of these things that is being forced upon us. We're being told about the updates, like I already mentioned. These big things are shifting and coming at us, and it seems like it's beyond us. That's just exactly what they want us to believe. We are greater than them. We are greater than their world. We are the children of the Most High. So it's up to us to take that step in prayer and to constantly pray against these things, to crush them literally, and to stop and put them on their heels, and to start understanding that God needs us to be that strong and authoritative within the prayer and disciplines that we've been given. We have that ability to stop the enemy through prayer. We have to believe it, though, and that's another level of faith, and it's stripping away of doubt that it seems to be so pervasive in so much of what we do. The problem we have ultimately is a government that is very deceitful. It has no loyalty to the people. It has no intention of doing anything for the people. It's all about trying to make us subordinate to itself. Part of that is the way that we allow our taxes to be used.
Our tax dollars should never, ever, ever go outside of this country until this country looks like fucking Dubai, where there is no crime, the most beautiful cities, a thriving economy with a thriving middle class, where people aren't taxed to death. Until we get in that position, which those people in Washington will never allow us to be, because when we become that, we are harder to control, we are harder to resist, and they have lost the understanding that they serve us. We do not serve them. Right now, we are serving them, and they are intentionally keeping us impoverished so that they can control this country and stay in power and continue to steal your tax dollars. That's what's going on, and the American people need to stand up against it and fix it once and for all.
And part of that is to make sure that anything that exposes them is protected, and those that do it are punished. Here's a story about the woman who literally found the Ashley Biden's diary and what's happened to her.
How this isn't the biggest scandal in Joe Biden's presidency should tell you everything that you need to know about the political and media environment. Last night around 5 o'clock, the Florida mom, the single mom of two little kids who was accused of stealing the diary and selling it to Project Veritas, was sentenced to 30 days in prison and like 3 years of house arrest. She also has to pay back the $20,000 that she got for selling the diary in the first place. But who does she have to pay it back to? Not Project Veritas, the Department of Justice. And the media reporting on this is just disgusting, labeling her a thief and that she's greedy, motivated by greed and had hoped to impact the nation's political landscape. She's despicable. Some no-name single mom from the state of Florida who had the misfortune of taking a room after Ashley Biden had left it, finding the stuff, then trying to maybe make a little money to pull herself out of debt, instead of reporting what's actually in the diary. Every single news article is spinning this narrative that this woman is some kind of evil piece of shit. The diary is real, about inappropriate showers that Ashley had had with her father when she was a little girl. The diary has her questioning whether or not she was essayed by somebody in her family when she was a little girl. Harry talks about how she was hypersexualized as a little girl at an early age because of incidences that had happened within her family, which then led her well on her way to a substance abuse issue. But they're not talking about that. They are not there, and they're not even mentioning it in any of these articles. All the press is not foaming at the mouth to ask Jean-Pierre about the inappropriate showers with his daughter. 40 years ago, this would have been the scandal of the century. Congress of older days would have found a way to impeach him because of it. People would have taken to the streets. It would have been Watergate front page news. This just got nothing but a bunch of narrative spinning, making Ashley Biden the victim of some monster from Florida who just wanted to gain a buck. Prosecutors were trying to jail her for like 3 to 5 years for this. Joe Biden's even going to be asked about it? Do you think that the White House is even going to be asked about it? Where the hell was Jill during all of this? Why is she not speaking on this? So disturbing and so disgusting.
It truly is. It's a statement of truly where we are as a nation, and it is disgusting to see just how corrupt the system is and how deeply woven it is. It's within every institution. It's within every level of media communication. Their intention is always to place the people that challenge the system in the darkest light possible and to use the collective idiocy of the sheeple to literally turn and hate them for doing it. There is a group of people out here that are so obedient to the system that they will defend the system even until their death. And that's the group that ultimately becomes the most dangerous in this nation. It's a sad statement, but unfortunately very, very true in what we are dealing with right now. Gun control is, again, one of those issues that we are constantly dealing with, and it's what they're trying to force and push upon everybody, as you know. But I think this statement, this very short piece here by a Chinese dissident or someone who survived the Maoist, I should say, survived the Mao's Cultural Revolution, pretty much sums up the entire gun control debate. Take a listen.
My name is Lily Tang Williams. Welcome to my live free or die state. Actually, I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold the communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me, a gun owner tonight, our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government? Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
And check out China if you want to become like China. Probably a good idea for all. An excellent response. It really sums up a lot of the issues that we are dealing with. Here's a great piece by Greg Reese and the Reese Report. And this is literally one of these pieces that is essential to understand just where this corruption is coming from and the root of it. So many of our leaders no longer have an oath to office that binds them to the Constitution. And so they're looking at a slippery slope way to get around being held accountable to the law of the land.
On January 10th of 1963, 45 current communist goals were submitted to the Congressional Record. Number 13 was, do away with loyalty oaths. 60 years later, on the very same day, Biden, Obrador, and Trudeau met in Mexico City for the Declaration of North America, which states a plan to unify North America under the ideas of diversity, climate change, migration, health, and regional security. The beginnings of a North American Union, which is a step towards a one-world government. According to law, elected officials must swear an oath that they will support, defend, and bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And through the Freedom of Information Act, U.S. Attorney Todd Callender, along with his team at Project Proper Oath, found that not a single member of the existing cabinet has a valid oath of office. U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has no oath of office and has also failed to register as a foreign agent, which is required due to serving on the boards and conducting international business with Raytheon, Nucor, and Tenet Healthcare. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra, responsible for declaring a national emergency during COVID, has no oath of office. Former director of the Centers for Disease Control, Rochelle Walensky, had no oath of office. U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith, responsible for investigating the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack, has no oath of office. U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Matthew Graves, chief prosecutor of Jan Sixers, has no oath of office. Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, has no oath of office. Within 30 days of appointment to public office, all public officials are legally required to have a signed and notarized copy of their oath of office. And it appears as if no elected officials in the federal government have one. They are either non-existent, incomplete, or fraudulent. The fraudulent ones are missing signatures, are not notarized, and in most of them, the words, "So help me God," are in all caps. In the U.S. Constitution, "So help me God" is not in all caps. And this matters, as many have been telling us for decades, including the great Jordan Maxwell.
Today, the entire world of mankind operates under a world law, which is referred to as the law of the high seas or international maritime admiralty. When you were born, you came out of your mother's water. Since you came out of your mother's water, you are a maritime product. This is why, when you were born, the dock has to sign your birth certificate. It's a maritime admiralty manifest showing that your mother brought you into the world and you were going to make money. Anything in this country, if it's a lawful, legal document of any kind, your name must be, according to maritime law, be in all capital letters. Why? Because you do not own your body. You do not own yourself. All capital letters name implies that you are a maritime admiralty product. You are not a human. You're not a living entity. You are a product. Your living entity person, the actual you, is represented under law by upper and lower case name. So you are a corporation whether you know it or not, but you are merely a subsidiary of a larger corporation called United States. This is the way the law works.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Really important to continue your studies if you have not into common law, which is really one of the roots of how this nation was built. And that's Jaron Jackson and his mentor, Dave. And I would really encourage you to continue those, following him on Telegram and Twitter, to get that knowledge and gain it. It's one of those things that we have to continue to expand our knowledge on. We'll have him down again, I think, for Bard's Fest in July to talk about it, and maybe again in our October Bard's Fest as well, which, yes, there will be one in July and one in October. And we're going to have different focuses. The July will be more of a, as we've done before, which will be a worship and prayer and a lot of ministry in terms of deliverance and inner healing. We'll be doing on the October event, we're going to be doing more breakout small group stuff to try to give rotationals so people can do clinics and start to get some hands-on knowledge. So that's what I would just say between now and then, make sure you're kind of brushing up and getting a good anchor on common law. I think it's important. Patriots, we had a fantastic event, like I said. Our event was in parallel with Pastor Rod Parker's event down on the border. Jim Conley was down there for the eclipse. We had ours up here, obviously in Ohio. And it was an amazing event, amazing coming together of people. We also had part of what made this event so special is we had Apostle Greg come from his church in Detroit, and he brought with him an amazing team. He just delivered the fire and really brought together one of my deep passions and dreams, which is to see the blending of the church, the black and the white church, into starting to bring those congregations together. It was a small step, but a very important step that's been embraced by Apostle Greg as well. So there's going to be some efforts made there, including the work here with Pastor Neil Peterson to try to blend, and when I say blend, bring together those two bodies of Christ. At some point, we'll be talking about, and we mentioned it last night, a movement to bring people together to with this church here, Harvest Revival Center and Bars Nation and Resistance Nation, whoever can come, to find a date and a time that we can attend the Detroit church with Apostle Greg. I think this will be a fantastic experience, and we'll start looking towards that down the road. But we do look forward to having Apostle Greg and his team at Bards Fest this July. Now, that said, I was informed by Pastor Devonese that he lost somebody very special and close to him in his family, in his circle. And so I want to start this morning with some prayers for him. We also have some prayers for Tiffany, a.k.a. Punky, our mod, and her father. And Nikki did a fantastic job last night of leading a prayer call on that. And then we have some other prayers here and thanks for people at the event. So let's just begin with a prayer for Apostle Greg. His Father God, I just want to pray for Apostle Greg and his family and the loss of this individual in their lives. And just pray into his heart and the healing of that. And the loss of people is a difficult thing in this time. We lose people. It's by losing part of ourselves. And so we just pray for Apostle Greg and his team and for his family. We just lift them up and we just pray life into them, pray life into the heart, pray wisdom into his heart. And in this time, in this hour, when things like this are heavy on ourselves and those around us, to just have the blessing of seeing the joy and the glory of what was given to us in their presence in this time. So we just pray for Apostle Greg, pray for his team, his family, lift them up in the glory of heaven and the light of heaven, and declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. For Tiffany, her father has pancreatic cancer. And I want to pray for healing this morning and just the light of Christ within her father's heart. So, Father God, I'm just going to pray for Tiffany's father. And we just pray massive and total healing over his body. We pray a healing from head to toe and toe to head. And we just expunge and expel out this cancer that's in his pancreatic cancer. So, Father, as we breathe life into his heart, we breathe restoration into his body, we just pray the blood of Christ touches him and heals him from head to toe and toe to head. Now, Jesus, we know that he's accepted you in his heart. So we just ask for your presence there to place your hand upon him and just reassure him and to give him that sense of power and greatness of who you are as our King, to revive that spark and that fire within somebody that at this point in time, during these difficult 10 years of suffering pain, it feels at times like we just want to go home. Father, there's a lot here that he's needed for. He needed here for his children and his grandchildren. And so we're just going to pray a restoration of life and a restoration of the spark of life within his heart with the power of Jesus within that, and just lift him up with the glory of Holy Spirit to fill him and shine through him and to revitalize that interest and that desire to fight and overcome. It's hard. We know it, this pain and these wearings down, especially when you get on machines, they just exhaust you. But this is a point now that to really be the overcomer. And so we're praying life and being an overcomer into his heart as we raise him up. We pray for healing angels to surround him and to pray into him. And we declare healing from head to toe and toe to head in totality in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We also want to mention some people here. So I want to thank Terry, and these are just names that were involved in the event. So it says, I want to thank Terry for the sharing the layout of the kitchens and the equipment availability. I want to bless Crystal, Lorene, and Bonnie for their diligence in cleanup, the setup, teardown crew for the gymnasium and stage area. We want to thank Leah and Michelle. The eighth was Rose's first time back. Now Rose was Rose and Kirby. Rose was Kirby's wife, and Kirby passed away. So this was Rose's first time back to Harvest Revival since Kirby's death. It has been hard for her. Bless her. She and Ron were standing at the sink. I heard Ron say, "You hate washing dishes." I offered to take her place. She refused. "I do hate washing dishes, but I offered to help. I will do this." It goes on to say, welcome table, Laura Lee, Crystal from Harvest Revival Center here, Aaron and Ann from Detroit, and that was from Pastor, I think Ann was from Apostle Greg's church, and educating us on raw milk and the benefits of cranial sacral therapy. Oh, I can talk about that too. It's an awesome one. Food prep. We want to thank Ron, Bill, and Katie Peterson and others that helped there. Servant runners, Trent, Trevor, and Alex did a great job. Servers were Debbie, Jim, and Debbie, two Debbies. Cleanup crew was Karen, Dory, Kevin, Becky Morris, Candy Cates, Pastor Devonese, Michelle Svensson, all those are just great help. And I would, a couple mentions here. Dory was, we did deliverance with Dory at Bard's Fest. She was what we call a targeted individual and was unable to hardly walk. After an hour and a half of working with her, she was completely freed. And Dory is here. She was camping. She was a huge part of what we were about. She's doing great. And even wanted to contribute personally to the fund for Bard's, for the purchase of the land in Flemingsburg. And Candy Cates, Jim and Candy were here, both events. Candy is doing amazing. Still working on some of her speech, but Candy actually took out her camera and took pictures again. It was an amazing event to watch her, and she is literally a living miracle. I want to thank Nikki for all of her updates and all the hard work she did. Also, Kim and Eva for cleanup, and we're getting some other lists started. But we also want to mention Abigail, Little Leah, Cabri, Trey, Trent, and Trevor. Just the youth team of prayer was just fantastic. I know I've missed people, and we'll get through all those lists. But I will tell you, there's so many people that were here helping, and it's just such a gracious thing that we are to see the community come together like this, and really everybody just pitching in. Pastor Neil was just blown away at how well things were cleaned up and taken care of. It really was amazing. So anyway, just wanted to mention all that. Thank you for everybody being here, and this is really what this is about. This was really demonstrating this, as Pastor Neil said, the pastor, she needs to be with the sheep and smell like the sheep. I thought that was pretty good. That was his comment last night. So it really was good. And that's where everybody has hands on and working together. And again, if I've missed you by name, it's not intentional. This is just one of the lists that I have. And as names come up, we will mention them and just let you know that everyone here is recognized and respected for every bit that was done and all the work that was put together. I also want to make a special mention to Leah Svensson. As you know, Michelle and Leah have been really tied up with their mother, who is, and their uncle Jack. Both are dealing with some disabilities, not disabilities, but just some issues right now. Her mother's still recovering from her time in the hospital, and it's taken an enormous amount of time on them. They're literally doing home care 24/7 for two people. Leah made the choice, and this is, I think, the first time in Resistance Chicks history that Michelle and Leah weren't together in an event. Leah made the choice to have Michelle come on her own. She did, and she came with Matt, and it's her brother. And they came together, but Leah did not show up. But what Leah did do on the back end made this possible. And I just need to make this clear. She put together, she organized so much of what I just mentioned in terms of the help and the inspiration to get people involved. She did that by setting up a signal group, getting everybody mobilized. She did a great job of getting all this put together. So a lot of the pieces that would have otherwise slipped through or been left to the last minute, Leah took care of. So just a great deal of thanks for her. This event was a true team effort between Harvest Revival Center and Resistance Chicks, Bars Nation, and the collective whole, all of everybody coming together. And that's what made it special. It also made it unique in that we didn't have to spend so many hundreds of hours on a few people doing so much. We saw the community coming together, which I think is really going to be a real trademark for where we're going in the future. And it's what you know, Pastor Neil was talking about so much last night in talking about what he saw in Bars Nation and Resistance Nation, which was just the heart of Christ and the love for one another. And that ultimately is at the core of all we do. So thank you all for a tremendous, tremendous event. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this last few days and today in particular, just to come together again and begin our continued prayer and worship as we do, as we prepare for that next event and that next step each day in walking more deeply with you. Father, we've been deeply blessed over this last few years of growing a massive community that's global, but is also local. And this is something that makes us very special and makes us very unique. And we just want to pray into the heart of each individual, the inspiration to know that no matter where you are, you're part of Bars Nation and we're part of you. And we just are blessed to be able to connect in the many ways we can, whether it's online or physical. We know that many people came here and that at the same time, many people couldn't, but were able to link online. And I just pray that those events were as fulfilling for them as it was in person. And that's just something we just continue to work towards, to include as many as possible in these revivals and the reviving of the spirit and the greatness of Christ. Father, I just want to pray today against many of the things that we see. We take for granted sometimes your presence, and we underestimate the power in which you've given us through prayer. And so, Father, today we are praying against this whole institution of artificial intelligence. Not only do we pray against it, we bind it, we rebuke it, and we cast it out. And we literally, Father, we're praying into that principality that's running that, to isolate it and to continue to see it be confused and chaotic and start an internal degrading. If anything, Father, we are praying for a holy virus to enter into this artificial intelligence networks, to start shredding them from the inside out and stripping them of their capability of trying to operate and somehow mislead people as they're trying to do, to create this sort of digital God. We rebuke that, we bind that and declare that blasphemous in the name of our kingdom, and declare that it must be destroyed in the name of Jesus, as it is a false God and a true antichrist coming into life in this world. Father, equally, we pray against our government that thinks that it's unrestrained or unaccountable to the people. And we declare in this moment in time that all people in the government are accountable to the people. They are equally, and through and by being accountable to the people, they are accountable to you. So, Father, we pray for an experience of Jesus to enter into their lives, one that's profound, one that's unshakable or undisputable, and one that shakes them truly to the core of who they are, that they truly must confront Christ our King to understand whom they currently serve and the choices they're making, and to understand the consequences for the path ahead. Father, we're open to miracles, and even seeing institutional degenerates that are currently trying to rail this country into the ground, seeing them saved and turn back to the people and start proclaiming laws and rules and undoing legislation that is against you and against the people. If we witness that even with people in office, hallelujah, and praise you for all that is there. Either way, Father, we are praying for a restoration of our government, a government to revive the true sense of who we are, to put Bibles back in the schools, to put faith and Bibles back into our Constitution and our living and our life and our government on a daily basis, to restore the church truly within our hearts and to lift it up in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Keep praying, patriots. That's what I can say. Our prayers are powerful. We're in a very critical time. We just went through a massive God event. And it's one that I think, again, like so many things, we're given things that we now have to lean into to take advantage of this time and this time window we're in. So do that. And we do that through prayer. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tonight for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. And out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward. And so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.